Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 14. In verse 8, the Word of God says, when you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, now it doesn't have to be a wedding feast, it's anything at all, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited with him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, give this man your place. And then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. In other words, you're embarrassed. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Exalted means to be lifted up, to be honored. If I exalt myself, I will be humbled. If I humble myself, I will be exalted. It always amazes me nowadays, because it didn't used to be this way. When a football player scores a touchdown, or even tackles somebody for that matter, they do their job. That's all they've done. They've done their job, for which they make ludicrous, obscene amounts of money to play a children's game. Stuff we used to play in the back of my friend's house, they get paid millions of dollars for, go figure. They're just better at it than we were. But they do something that's strictly their job, and all of a sudden they celebrate like they've done some extraordinary feat. And they say, look how great I am. You ever notice that? It's obnoxious. Back in the day, I like John Riggins. He played for the Washington Redskins. The guy was a running back. He would run 15 yards with 11 people piled on top of him. The guy would carry the opposite team across into the end zone. He was unbelievable. They tried to tackle him and they would bounce off of him. And if they grabbed him, he would just take them with him. And then he would score a touchdown and then he would just drop the ball back over his shoulder. Yeah, I do this all the time. No big deal here. That's real glory if you're a football player. That's cool. This stuff, oh, look at me, I'm so amazing. What, you never did this before? Because that's the way of that. You see, that's what it's talking about. Guys, there is something that makes people great. And God is giving it to you right here. Do you want to be great in your life? Or do you want to be pathetic? Nobody comes into life as a young person. I can't ever remember saying this or ever having heard anybody say this. I want to be pathetic when I'm older. No, a lot of people say, I want to be great when I'm older in some way, and they don't say it, but they think it. I want to somehow be great. I want to be a great doctor. I want to be a great teacher. I want to be a great football player. I don't know. I just want to be great at whatever it is, and there's a way to be great. What makes you great? Well, it starts right here. You humble yourself. If a person humbles themselves, in other words, they don't think they're all that and a bag of chips, they don't think they're all that bad either. They just don't think about themselves all that much. They put God's thoughts ahead of their thoughts. Then God makes them great. Because they're humble. God loves when people are humble. He will make them great. Now, some people can do it just because they have a natural talent and a natural ability like some of these football players. That's not greatness. And they're display shows there's no greatness in it. Because they're shocked when it happens. Look at that! Isn't that amazing? What, never happened before, huh? Because it's the way they act. There's no greatness in that. The Word of God says this, in Matthew 19:30, many who are first will be last. And many who are last will be first. There's a tendency to always want to be the one who's getting the attention, who's first, the one who's getting all the credit, the one who's getting all the glory. But God says, many that are first will be last. And many that are last will be first. That's dealing with greatness. One of the greatest people I've ever known was a man named Richard Brainerd. I don't even know if he's alive today. I knew him about 30 years ago. Nobody knew this guy. But missionaries depended on him. And because of what he did for people, a lot of churches were built. And he didn't do anything anybody would suspect is great. Dr. Stevens, who was my pastor, was the pastor of hundreds of other pastors. He trained pastors, and he was an expert at planning churches and starting colleges. And other people who planted churches and started colleges would want to meet with Dr. Stevens to get his advice. And he would give it to them, and frequently he would give it to them when he was driving home from church. So he would say to the pastor who wanted the advice, come sit in my car with me while I drive home, and we'll talk. And while he was driving home, he counseled these people about what they needed to do, or if they had a problem or a situation they didn't know what to do with, he counseled them. Richard Brainerd was the guy who would take them back. He would follow in his car to make sure that that pastor had a ride back home, because he couldn't stay with Dr. Stevens all day. So the guy needed a way back. Richard Brainerd was the guy who gave him the way back. Nobody would consider that to be great. But those pastors who planted those churches and started those Bible colleges and won all those souls to Christ depended on Richard Brainerd. Because without him, they would have no means of getting the counsel that they received. He seemed to be last. He was just a guy giving a ride. But in fact, he's going to be one of those that's first. Because without him, a whole lot of things that were very important couldn't have happened. Now, it says in Psalm 18:35, this is David speaking. David was a guy who made about every mistake you could make. But he was also perhaps the greatest king of all of history. But he made his share of mistakes, boy. And he said in that psalm, God's gentleness made him great. You want to be great? Receive the gentleness of God and learn how to be gentle. David was a rough guy when he was young. Somebody offended him and he wanted to kill the person, and had somebody not stopped him, he would have killed the person. He was a rough guy when he was young. By the end of his life, he was very sweet because he became gentle. Gentleness is a sign of greatness. People think if you're gentle, then somehow you're weak because you have to assert yourself. You have to be top dog. You have to be first. No, that's a sign of weakness. The person who has to be weak has no confidence in themselves or anything else for that matter. And so they're constantly striving to be more because they think they're nothing. Truth of the matter is, the people who are confident, the people who actually possess greatness, are very gentle. Because they don't have anything to prove to anybody. They've got it together. And their gentleness reflects that they've got it together. Gentleness is a major sign of greatness. You want to be great? Learn to be gentle. Learn that God is gentle with you, and learn to be gentle with other people. The Word of God says in Mark 10:44, whoever desires to be the first among you, let him be the servant of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Now, I'll be honest, you guys are in school, you're with a bunch of other kids. Who is it that's looking for other people to serve them? I want to be first. I want that seat. I want this toy, or that book, or whatever it is. I want it. You got it, I want it. Seriously? Learn to be servant. If you want to be great. The person who keeps saying, well, I want, all they're saying is, I don't have. Because if they had, they wouldn't say, I want. So they're saying, I don't have what I want. I don't have that seat. I don't have that book. I don't have that toy. I don't have that thing. I don't have whatever it is. That's why they keep saying, I want. Well, they're showing they don't have. And what they're lacking is in greatness. The seat or the toy or the book or whatever, that doesn't reflect anything. But what they're talking about is greatness. Learn to be great. Learn to serve people. Now, when I say serve people, I don't mean like if somebody needs something or wants something, you're the one who has to go out and do it. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what serving people is. This is how serving works. Matthew 5:19. Whoever shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men to do so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. That's a guy who's not great. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be great in the kingdom of God. So if a person takes the commandment of God and he teaches people not to do it, or he doesn't do it themselves, that person is not great. But the person who does it and teaches other people to do it, that person is great. Now, that's pretty serious when God calls you great. Now, the commandments of God are not the Ten Commandments of Moses. Often when people talk about commandments, I don't know why, but they always go to Moses. Moses is not God. God gave a commandment. In John 13:34, Jesus, who was God, said, a new commandment I give to you. So here's the commandment. That you love one another as I have loved you, that also you love one another. That's the commandment. That's God's command. What is love? Well, in 1 Corinthians 13:4, first, it is very patient. And second, it is very kind. Then there's other things like it doesn't get jealous, it doesn't think evil, it doesn't like things that are wrong in people's lives. In other words, something goes bad for you, and even if you're not my friend and it goes bad for you, I take no pleasure in that. God says you love your enemies when you love. And that doesn't mean you have to like them. That means you're patient toward them and you're kind toward them. You don't think evil of them. That's what that means. That's greatness. That's real greatness. When you learn how to love people with God's love, the way that God loves people, that is greatness. That's the command of God. In Galatians 5:13, it says, you serve one another through love. So when it says over there in Mark 10:44, if you want to be first, learn to be a servant. What he's actually saying, if you want to be first, learn to love people. Learn to be gentle. Learn to be patient. Learn to be kind. Learn not to be all about yourself. Self-oriented people are not great people. Those people who learn how to love with the love of God, those are great. And that is something God has a lot of respect for. And the funny thing is, even people who don't know you or people who are not saved, even they have a lot of regard for it. They'll see somebody like that and they wonder, wow, what do they have that I don't have? Because whatever it is, I want it. What they have is the love of God. What they have is the gentleness of God, the kindness of God, the mercy of God, the patience of God. Those things make you great. But I'll tell you right now, they don't come without humility. Humility is required for greatness. And once a person has humility, they'll grow in the things that make them great. You guys understand? Okay, that's it for today.